we have to get on our own resources in America. If we do, we can cut out 60% of OPEC oil.
Oil, natural gas, wind, water, solar, nuclear.
Industries of energy.
We've got fantastic opportunities to use new technologies to secure the American people and at the same time be better stewards of the environment.
You have questions, we have answers.
Listen carefully.
You can't really be against hydrofracking and say you're an environmentalist because immediately the default options are fuels that are much less clean.
For the next hour, Sean Wilson and Butch Black explore the energy industry with news and interviews from around the corner and around the globe.
Nuclear is one of the directions that we should innovate in.
The Exploring Energy Show begins
now. Oh, yes, and a very, very good Tuesday morning to you, ladies and gentlemen. Sean Wilson, Butch Black, smoking through the work week. Already Tuesday, unbelievable. Here's what's on tap at Elk City Meals on Wheels today.
What's for lunch?
Barbecue chicken, macaroni and cheese, ranch, beans, biscuit, and chocolate pie. That's what's going on today. $6 for anybody. $5 for senior citizens. They're open from 11 to 1. You can call in your order, 225-5821. Feed the whole office for just pennies a person, really. 1510 West 9th Street, 580-225-5821. Elk City Meals on Wheels, barbecue chicken, mac and cheese, ranch beans, biscuit, and chocolate pie. That's what you'll find today. And then this evening, you can go out and help out the Boy Scouts because they're having their annual Boy Scout Pancake Supper. It's tonight, 5:30 to 8, back door of the Elks Lodge. That's it. Donations only. There's no, just whatever you decide you want to give them, that's it. Boy Scouts annual Pancake Supper, that's this evening, 5:30 to 8. Back door of the Elks Lodge. Put a reminder in your phone. If you're like me, those really do help. Yeah. And Paul Warnke's fight is our fight. Come help us fight for a great guy. Saturday's January 29th, 2022. From 6 to 10 p.m. That's this Saturday at Friends Pub and Pizza. 40% of all the food and drinks ordered from 6 to 10 will go directly to Paul and his family to cover medical expenses, travel expenses. Tyler Wilhelm. Oh, Tyler. He'll be there playing acoustic from 7 to 9. Also, donations can be given if you'd just like to come in and support a great member of the community, Paul Warnke. His fundraiser is this Saturday. Well, what do you got for us over there, Butch? You got any good news, man? Come on.
Well, to be honest with you, I don't know.
Yeah.
Because I've lost my...
You've lost your... You did?
Yeah, I lost it.
How in the world?
It was up, and I lost it. Holy smoke. Oh, man, everything went down.
All right, so you need some filler or what?
Yeah, give me a second. Everything, I mean, I just lost my whole search network and everything.
Well, the ONG, pardon me, $1.3 billion in storm cost to be considered by Oklahoma regulators. The Oklahoma regulators will take up the request of Oklahoma Natural Gas for securitization of its extreme costs stemming from the February storm Uri. The matter was continued this week, and corporation commissioners will meet at 2:30 p.m. to possibly vote on the request. ONG asked for the use of ratepayer-backed bonds to cover its $1.3 billion in storm costs. The same maneuver that commissioners approved for Oklahoma Gas and Electric. The meeting will be streamed live. For more details, you can go to the OK.gov/OCC/public meetings.
Anything that's .gov worries me. You stupid SOB.
Yeah, not if you're Peter Ducey, right? Yeah.
Bless his heart.
Oh, boy.
He's just trying to get a question answered. Well, let's see. WTI crude on the NYMEX March exchange is up 37 cents to 83.68. Brent crude on the ICE March exchange is up 49 cents to 86.76. NYMEX natural gas on the February exchange is actually down 6 cents to 3.96. RBOB gasoline on the NYMEX February exchange is up $1.97 to $2.41.77, and NYMEX heating oil on the February exchange is up 38 cents to $2.63.12. We're seeing rises at the pumps, and they're even predicting you could see $4.19 motor fuel in the future. Of course, we know some places in California are spending that already.
Oh, yeah, well over that, no doubt. Well, a companion story to what I just read. Oklahoma utilities are facing push for more storm cost transparency. A division of the Oklahoma Corporation Commission is moving ahead with a request of regulators to require five major utilities in Oklahoma to reveal more details about their February 2021 storm costs. It is considered a move to make the utilities more transparent in what they are asking of the commission. It's only right. The Public Utilities Division is asking the commission to have Oklahoma Natural Gas Company, Oklahoma Gas and Electric, Public Service Company of Oklahoma, CenterPoint Energy Resources, and Summit Utilities to publicly disclose certain documents and information related to the extreme weather emergency of February 2021. The utilities have asked the commission for securitization approval to spread their extensive storm costs out over long periods of time, but some consumer groups have complained that the utilities have not revealed enough financial details in defense of these requests. The request filed by the Commission's Public Utilities Division asked for the total amount of each of the utilities paid to natural gas providers for the natural gas commodity, transportation services, transmission services, storage-related expenses, purchased power, and other related expenses by type and provider. Providing the above-described information is, and this is the cause, allows the general public to view summary information on this historic weather emergency to the commission's website in one easily accessible repository and in a uniformed format, said the PUD request.
The PUD?
The PUD. Yeah, you'd like to be that guy. Public Utilities Division is what the Oklahoma Corporation is.
That's a PUD job.
The PUD job. That's it. But anyway, the information being sought in this case is not anticipated to give an unfair competitive advantage to providers of these services, as the weather emergency has been considered an anomaly and should not negatively impact any future requests for competitive bids. The AARP Oklahoma is one group that has not agreed to some of the securitization requests of some of the utilities, arguing residential customers are bearing too much of the cost load, and the utilities have not been totally transparent about those expenses. And opposing efforts by Oklahoma Gas and Electric, AARP Oklahoma State Director Sean Vascool said his group advocates to ensure only prudent and reasonable costs are passed on to customers to limit the rate increase to residential customers. We are fighting to ensure OG&E takes financial responsibility for its actions leading up to and through the weather event, said Volkskuhl. OG&E knew this weather event was likely. OG&E did not use all of its gas in storage and kept a high number of generation units offline for maintenance, all contributing to the spending frenzy.
Well, would you rather bring a unit down for maintenance or take have the possibility of shelling it?
Well, yeah. I mean, who's to know? I'm just saying.
We don't have that information. We don't know where we're at.
But we all know that there are some that never let a good catastrophe go to waste.
It's true.
You know, I mean, they see an opportunity and like, hey, here we go. You know,
something else you have to take into consideration too is those generators run at high RPM. I mean, they're in stress mode most of the time.
Right.
So, you know, without the proper maintenance, you may be without that thing for a couple of weeks while it gets repaired. So, you know, I'm just looking at both sides. Absolutely.
I'm not anti-utility, brother. I'm telling you, we still.
And I know those that will take advantage of
it. We have really good, reliable service and
yes,
it's fairly cheap. So I'm not complaining. I'm just saying that what these people are asking for is transparency. And yeah, I think it needs to be.
I mean, I don't have a problem with that.
I mean, I talked to somebody the other day, and it was basically like this. So say you're a store owner, and you sell these widgets.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, you found a place that will sell you widgets at 50 cents a widget. The guy across town who sells widget, he's not buying as many, or he doesn't have as good a deal. Well, he's buying his widgets at 35 cents. Okay, well, is it fair that the consumer that goes into their store asks that, you know, okay, how much did you pay for your widget? How much are you making off this sale, man?
Yeah, you know, that's none of their business.
Okay, really. So see, that's what the utility companies are saying here, that if they divulge all of their resources for their product, their natural gas that they use,
it takes away a lot of their competitive edge.
Their competitive edge, yeah. That's their deal.
They're in business to make a profit. They're not a nonprofit organization. Without a profit, the company doesn't grow. It's not more able to take care of your needs. It's actually less able to.
But now they see the cooperatives are a different situation they're owned by
the consumers.
The consumers. And that money they make is supposed to go back into keeping the new poles up and going, the new insulators, changing out transmission lines and feeder lines and things like that. So I don't know. It's a slippery slope.
We'll wait
and see. We're a quarter after the hour. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be back with more of the Tuesday edition of the Exploring Energy Radio Show right here on 96.5 KECO. Stick around.
The Exploring Energy Show with Sean Wilson and Butch Black.
Could you use up to $7,500 to jumpstart your future? The people of Oklahoma Oil and Natural Gas are looking for the next generation of game changers who will find new and more efficient ways to produce the energy that fuels our life. That's why they're providing scholarships to students interested in pursuing a degree in the oil and natural gas industry. They need your energy. If you want to be the future of energy, visit oerb.com/scholarships to apply today.
Veneers are kind of like when you go to a nail salon and you get nails. They're a shell that is put on the front of the teeth. We offer porcelain and composite veneers. Porcelain veneers, very strong, gorgeous, but I've also got into doing direct composite veneers. It is extremely conservative. We're able to do those without drilling away any tooth structure, and we don't even have to do any shots, which patients love. So you want a smile makeover and you don't have to have any shots, you don't have a lot of drilling, and you can get that new smile in a day. My name is Jamie Cameron, and I am a dentist in Weatherford at 129 North Bradley, a block north of Brahms.
Also at Liberty Dental in Carnegie on Main Street, right next to the movie theater.
JamieCameronDDS.com. You can also visit us on our Facebook page, JamieCameronDDS. Where we treat you like family and do life-changing dentistry.
Is your current financial advisor really listening to you or just waiting for their turn to talk? Hi, I'm Edward Jones, financial advisor Justin Cook in Elk City, and I'm here to listen. I want to know what's important to you and to learn about your goals and how we can put you on the right financial path. Give us a call at 225-6545 or stop by 801 North Main. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
As a parent, nothing matters more than your child. You would do anything to keep them safe and happy, and you worry about them. Just remember, no one gets it right all the time. When you are struggling or need support, help is available. Call 1-888-574-KIDS weekdays from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Family Field Guide, because kids don't come with instructions. The number is 1-888-574-KIDS.
The Exploring Energy Show with Sean and Butch.
One of our great sponsors that helped make the show possible also employs Butch Black, DCP Services. They offer fully insured contract pumpers, roustabout services, including backhoes, forklifts, tractors, mowing, trenching, you name it. The field techs have over 80 years of combined experience, plus they rebuild to like new. Kimray valves and controls, Western Chemical pumps, and they sell and repair Texam solar pumps and other solar pumps. Plus, their wireline division has both braided and slick line capabilities for pumping, roustabout, or wireline services. Call Jeff Davis, 580-660-0501. Or Butch Black, 580-303-1886. And since all the major supply stores have all but pulled out, DCP has a full-service supply store for pipe, valves, and fittings geared toward pipeline processing and production. Located at 317 North Van Buren, right here in Elk City. Call Ernie Barker, 580-339-1773. 580-339-1773. And also, get paid well and get to go home at night. Well, those are two great things. If you're a family man, that's just about all you can ask for. Camrock Supply needs a driver. Camrock pays drivers $20 to $25 an hour, depending on your experience. You got to have a Class A CDL, be able to pass a drug test, and have enough experience to know what's going on. Besides very good pay, you get insurance, health, dental, and vision, and you get to go home at night. Apply in person at Camrock, 2111 South Main Street in Elk City, next to Fred's Steakhouse. Camrock, they're looking for a driver, and American Hose and Supply, they're looking to keep you up and going. When you call, you're expecting them to get something done, because a busted hose means you're not getting anything done. You're not making any money. Tractors, combines, oil field equipment. They'll do whatever it takes to get something to you and solve your problem, get you up and going. American Hose and Supply, 821-4413, 821-4413. Been told by Little Birdie, we got another sponsor going to be coming on the first week of February.
Sweet.
Yeah, starting the 31st, so looking forward to that.
Yeah.
And their spokesperson is a good buddy of mine. He's going to come on the show, and we're going to be able to talk about that company.
Cool.
So, yeah, it's a good thing. And for all those that tell me that they listen, man, we appreciate it.
Yes, we do.
We do. I mean, we try to give a product that people can learn a little something from, maybe be a little bit entertained, but you know what? it's the bottom line that the National Energy Talk, like Stansberry continues to push, you've got to dialogue, you've got to talk about it. And until recently, nobody's really thought about energy. They really haven't been thinking much about it at all. The last time energy was at the forefront was, of course, you know, the nuclear meltdown, you know,
well,
the oil embargo.
They think they have an answer.
Yeah.
But it's starting to prove out that their answer is not ready.
But the 95% of the population, they just know that when they flip that switch, the light's supposed to come on. And when they turn that ignition, that car's supposed to go. I mean, it's just, they don't think about what it took to make that light bulb come on, what it takes to get that combustible engine to go, you know?
How many hands have touched something to make that possible?
1.5 on my side. Thanks for bringing up hands, Butch. Gosh.
I can't take him anywhere. Well, Halliburton sees frack equipment orders double as shale rebounds.
Well, you know, we saw Schlumberger yesterday.
This is good news.
Yes, it is.
Shale oil companies are using almost all of the frack equipment and crews available as exploration expands, accelerating cost inflation, pointing to worsening supply chain disruptions across the industry. But North American oil drillers appear likely to expand, spending by more than 25% this year, while overseas explorers are on a course for a more moderate increase in the mid-teens. Halliburton Company executives said on Monday after reporting their biggest quarterly profit in 7 years. That's what they had to say, that it's the shale drillers are starting to come out, and they're going to work to try and stop this mess that the administration has going. The world's top provider of fracking services already is seeing tightening labor, trucking, and raw material supplies, and in some regions, as much as 80% of workers are transplants recruited from other areas.
Uh-huh.
Even something as mundane as the sand Halliburton blasts into wells to help fracture oil-soaked rocks is getting harder to source, Chief Executive Officer Jeff Miller said during a conference call with analysts. The squeeze is proving a boon to Halliburton, which lifted its dividend for the first time since 2014 and said orders for pumping gear have more than doubled. The company's fracking business is working at full capacity and oil companies are paying higher prices for so-called completion work. ConocoPhillips and peers such as Devon Energy Corp have been warning since last year that oil field inflation was a burgeoning threat. This is a fantastic set of conditions for Halliburton, Miller said. Our current completion and tool order book has more than doubled from a year ago, signaling strong growth and profitability again in 2022. Oil and natural gas explorers are paying record costs as the economic growth that underpins energy demand rebounds from the pandemic-driven collapse, the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas said in recent weeks. Supply chain snarls in the Permian Basin, the biggest U.S. oil field, are making drilling projects more complicated, prolonged, and expensive. Miller said there's little reason to expect things to change anytime soon. I don't see 2023 as an end point by any means. Miller said, I think the road goes on well beyond that. I think you're right.
I think you are right. Well, I know. Yeah, it's one of those deals where, you know, it's a situation where, are you getting the correct information? But yeah. But the whole thing about the workers having to bring in workers, you know, I mean, because we know as well as you and I both know, we know a lot of people that just didn't come back to the oil field.
Yeah,
you know, they were just sick of it. And I mean, of course, money talks, and you know what walks. So we'll wait and see. But you're right; it's a situation to where it's good to hear that the service companies are posting dividends. They are, you know, adapting to the current climate.
Yeah. Well, and then you have Schlumberger.
Yeah.
Schlumberger is gearing up for growth around the world as the number one oil field contractor, expects recovering economics to ignite several years of crude demand expansion. The company based in Houston and Paris will boost spending as much as 18% or $2 billion in North America alone.
That's
so
big. I mean, yeah that's
here you have two of the majors,
right?
Two of the major service companies that are putting their money where their mouth is. They say it's going to grow, and they're working towards that end. And I honestly believe they're right. This is not a, let's try it and see if it works.
Yeah, a poke and hope.
They
deal.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
You know, they don't pledge on spending this kind of money without firm analysis.
Yeah, that is exactly right. You are correct.
That's not like me going to the casino and putting $5 down.
Oh, isn't that the truth? Well, you know, BlackRock.
Oh, BlackRock.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You've heard about them, and you've heard about their efforts to kind of get up in people's business about their climate policies. But the movement hasn't quite hit Oklahoma yet. But BlackRock, the world's largest asset manager, with nearly, listen to this, $10 trillion under its management, and a major player in Oklahoma energy projects, is targeted by West Virginia for its greenhouse gas emission reduction efforts. This out of Fox Business, but investing in BlackRock would be a clear conflict of interest, since the firm aims to cut the greenhouse gas emissions of its portfolio to net zero, West Virginia Treasurer Riley Moore told Fox News. Texas was the first to kind of say, hey, listen, man, if you're going to play this game, we're not going to use you.
Yeah.
But the West Virginia Board of Treasury Investments will no longer use BlackRock for banking transactions, Moore announced. He said the decision was made since BlackRock has urged companies to embrace net zero investment strategies, which he said hurts West Virginians. There's a clear conflict of interest here at hand over tax dollars generated from coal and gas, and to a financial institution that wants to destroy those very industries in which they're reaping dollars from, Moore told Fox News. So see, kind of self-serving, you know, like, hey, man, we're making all this money, but, you know, you guys probably need to back off. BlackRock, the world's largest asset manager with nearly, like I said, $10 trillion under its management, announced in 2021 that it is committed to supporting the goal of net zero greenhouse gas emissions by 2050 or sooner. Well, what does that mean? That means no fossil fuels.
Yeah.
Moore, which is the treasurer of West Virginia, said. He told Fox News. So why are we going, you know, are we going to hand these dollars over to the same people that want to destroy our industries? That doesn't make any sense, Moore continued. We're not going to pay for our own destruction. In a January 17th letter to investors, BlackRock CEO Larry Fink, what a name, said the firm does not pursue divestment from oil and gas companies as a policy. Coal and energy production are the lifelines of the Mountain State's economy, Charleston residents told Fox News. All you have to do is go to your yard and go down a foot, and you're going to find coal, one West Virginia resident, Anthony, told Fox News. Coal is West Virginia's bread and butter. A West Virginia woman told Fox News, a lot of our stuff that we have here runs on coal. Another resident said coal is definitely important. It's almost cultural. It's hard to take that away. There's not a lot of other job opportunities to supply that type of salary and living wage, he continued. But Moore called West Virginia an energy state, noting its coal mining and gas production. As BlackRock looks to push people out of investing in those types of industries, it hurts us, the treasurer said. Your energy costs, your bills are going to increase if there's no coal and gas in this country. You're going to pay the price, Moore added.
Absolutely.
So look, if you're out there and you're doing a lot of investments, look and see what you have in BlackRock. You might want to think and consider of moving that to something different.
I definitely would. I'd be honest with you, we've heard of BlackRock way too many times. I'm not sure that there's completely legal deals going on there.
No way, when there's that much money involved.
But I got a little quick hitter here. We can close out before the next break. Chesapeake is working with Chief Oil and Gas on a possible $2.4 billion deal. Chesapeake Energy Corporation is in advanced talks to acquire privately owned natural gas producer Chief Oil and Gas Incorporated for about $2.4 billion, including debt. A deal could be announced as soon as this week. The news Reuters reported in October that Chief Oil and Gas was exploring a sale, and the surge in energy prices that was boosting valuations in the industry. Chesapeake didn't immediately respond to their email seeking comment. Of course, they're outside usual office hours. But the deal would be a second in a matter of months for Chesapeake, the natural gas producer that emerged from bankruptcy last year. The company agreed to acquire Vine Energy Incorporated, a rival driller controlled by Blackstone Group Incorporated, in August for about $2.2 billion amid a wave of consolidation in the U.S. shale patch. Sector has been under pressure from investors to consolidate in order to achieve cost savings, boost dividends, create operators with greater scale following several years of dire financial performance. So there you have it. Chesapeake is buying them up right and left.
There you go. We are going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with the second half of today's show right here on 96.5 KECO.
The Exploring Energy Show with Sean Wilson and Butch Black.
Farmers Trust Farm Bureau agent Mickey Lively, because he's a farmer himself.
I think they trust me because I can relate to them to begin with. I mean, I farm, I run cattle, I understand their business, I understand, you know, what needs to be protected, how it needs to be protected. I understand how important, I mean, that's their life, that's their livelihood. And I understand they need, you know, they need insurance on that tractor. They need to make sure that those cattle are insured if a storm comes through, because if it damages that stuff, they just lost their business. I get that. I understand it. I live the same life. I enjoy it, and I understand what they do. To me, that's something of a little bit of comfort level. People know they can call me anytime, and they can. I mean, I really mean that.
I'm Mickey Lively with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County, and my job is to protect your business. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Hey, it's Sean with Galleria Furniture Mattress and Appliance Outlet in Elk City. Here's a riddle for you. What furniture, mattress, and appliance outlet store in Elk City has the biggest showroom in western Oklahoma? Over $1 million in inventory? Where you never pay retail? Has the most buying power? And carries the top name brands? Nope, not those guys. It's us at Galleria Furniture, Mattress, and Appliance Outlet in Elk City. Remember, friends, don't let friends pay retail.
One of the services that we provide is if you're a new customer and you're wanting to get set up in bulk, we will set tanks on your place. We have double-walled Roth brand tanks that have a pneumatic pump on them and a hose reel and a metered nozzle, so that we can set those. And those are ours. We loan them to you to use while you're our customer. And so then when you call and say, hey, I need 200 gallons of this oil, we'll bring it out, fill your tank up, and you're good to go. You just continue using product, saving money, being happy, and life is going on. My name is Sean Estes, and the company I work for is Camrock. Give me a call at 405-301-5803. 405-301-5803. Come see us at Camrock, 2111 South Main in Elk City, right behind Fred's Steakhouse.
The Exploring Energy Show with Sean and Butch.
Allegiant Land Services. They're a leader in energy solutions. They're headquartered in the rural community of Sealing, Oklahoma. They have the knowledge to bridge the gap between company and community. They're landowners. They understand what it's like on the other side of the table. From acquisition, project management, and consulting, Allegiant Land Services has the people and the experience to get the job done right the first time. They're proud to provide their clients with team members equipped with a well-rounded education in the oil and gas industry, as well as wind and solar. Allegiant Land Services and Consulting is an unmatched energy solutions company. They are truly honest, efficient, and reliable. Contact them online, AllegiantLand.com, or call their Sealing, Oklahoma office, 405-883-7007, 405-883-7007.
And like Cousin Jimmy, they know what it's like to be on the wrong end of a mama cow.
He's still crippling around. I can't believe he let that 1,800 pounder get to him, man. Dadgummit.
I thought he was faster than that.
You would think. Okay, here we go. Up in Kansas.
I've been there.
Is the recent uptick in earthquakes in Saline County unusual? Here's what scientists think. After not having any recorded earthquakes until 2015, Saline County has been quite seismically active recently. As the past few months have seen, people from across the county, including officials at multiple levels of government and across the state, have been wondering what has been happening that Saline County has experienced such quakes in the past few months. Well, all of us commissioners have lived here a long time. This is unusual, said Commissioner Monty Shadwick during the January 11, 2022 meeting of the Saline County Board of Commissioners. People are asking questions. Shadwick, is it wrong to say it's unusual as Saline County has 138 magnitude, two or higher quakes that the Kansas Geological Survey has recorded from August 14th to December 27th of 2021? Of these 138, three of these were magnitude 4 or higher, the largest earthquakes recorded in Kansas during that time. Why she is not concerned at this point, Michelle Barkley, the director of the Saline County Emergency Management Department, said there's been some very minor damage from at least one of these quakes. The 4.3 did cause some damage to chips and broken pipes, things falling off, shelves, etc. And speaking with officials at the United States Geological Survey, Barkley in this said this is something that can happen in most parts of the country. Unless you live in Florida or North Dakota, there will always be shifting in the plates, Barkley said. Rick Miller, a senior scientist at KGS, the Kansas Geological Survey, said, well, studies in Kansas have shown seismicity to occur in the state from 1977 to 1989. They also said with funding from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers and the Nuclear Regulatory Commission deployed a network of seismometers across the state. Well, the Corps were trying to do an appraisal of the seismicity for dam safety issues and the reactor safety issues associated with the Corps' dams and with Wolf Creek Power Plant, the nuclear power plant there in Kansas. With that data received by the seismometer network, Miller said the Corps and the NRC have roughly, well, determined how many and how long, how large these quakes could be expected in the lifespan of the dams built of Wolf Creek and the nuclear power plant near Burlington. Though Miller said the threshold of where the human can feel an earthquake is about 2.5 magnitude, some may feel smaller ones if they're located right on top of the epicenter. Miller said that he and the Kansas Geological Survey have enough seismometers across the state to detect any earthquake 1.8 magnitude or higher. Anyway, they're wondering if these are tied to disposal wells. The story goes on to say, but... We'll wait to see, but the basement, it says... Around 2014, Miller said horizontal drilling for natural resources like oil increased. Drilling and produces wastewater, which has to be disposed of somehow. It's pumping water into the deep rocks in the subsurface right above what we call the basement or the Precambrian layer, Miller said. This basement contains rocks that are several billion years old. Miller said putting this water in this location is a permanent solution because there's no economical way to filter or use the water because of the chemicals and the dissolvent that are dissolved solids in it. Disposal of fluids in this level has been going on for 50 to 70 years, but has increased as horizontal drilling has also increased. Water usage has, they're producing more water. While Miller said the source of these earthquakes can't be proven, the working theory is that this increase of water disposal has also increased the pressures built up in this basement level. There are existing faults near this level, and when water is pumped into it, that water has to go somewhere.
Okay.
So that's what they're saying now in Kansas. You know, South Texas started saying, hey, man, we're having them now. So who knows?
Well, the way this country's going, it needs to be shook up.
Oh, we're shaking, all right.
Well, shale drillers target Eagleford for new exploration opportunities. The Eagleford Shale in South Texas, long overlooked compared to its larger cousin, the Permian Basin, says its biggest one-week jump has seen its one saw its biggest one-week jump in drilling activity in more than 2 years, as explorers look for growth beyond the world's biggest shale patch. The number of rigs drilling for crude in the Eagleford rose by 5 to 43 this week, according to Baker Hughes Company data released Friday. It's the biggest weekly expansion for explorers in the region since December of 2019. Even gas-rich basins got in on the crude drilling growth, adding that most oil rigs in at least half a decade, with two more going to work in Louisiana's Haynesville and one starting up in the Marcellus. The shale industry is suffering from record costs in some of the biggest U.S. fields amid supply chain snarls, causing explorers to look beyond the Permian Basin of West Texas and New Mexico for growth. While the total U.S. rig count climbed by 11 rigs this week for its biggest gain in 3 months, the number of rigs working is still more than a quarter below pre-pandemic highs. So, we're going to the Eagleford now.
It's not as far away as the Permian, right?
Yeah, right.
Grady County wells are successful for Gulfport Energy. Oklahoma City-based Gulfport MidCon LLC reports completion on two Grady County wells with combined production of more than 1,400 barrels of oil a day from a single pad. The two wells, with origins dating back to 2019 and 2020, were also large gas wells. The Frick.
Okay.
Yeah, the Frick wells, located just east of Rush Springs, were completed in June of 2021. The reports were just released by state regulators. The first Frick well produced, 673 barrels of frickin' oil a day.
We're gonna frack the Fricks.
15,861 MCF of natural gas from a drill depth of about 24,240 feet upon completion had December 2019 spud date. The second Frick well produced 771 barrels of oil a day and 12,987 MCF of natural gas from a drill depth of 23,149 feet. Its spud date was in February. First production didn't happen until June 12th of 2021. But, yeah.
There you go. A
couple pretty good ones for Gulfport. That's good news for them. Good news for Oklahoma. And, you know, we're talking about the transition to natural gas. We're seeing more natural gas wells come up now on the rig reports. You know, those that are drilling for natural gas. for a while, we got nobody drilling for natural gas because it almost became a byproduct. Of course, it was $1.59 an MCF or BTU.
$1.28.
Yeah, when we were, since we've been doing the show, and then it crawled up a little over $6, and then it kind of relaxed back down. Now it's anywhere between the $3 and $4 mark. So, but the good news is, and we knew it was going to be a slow process when you and I first started talking about this, but people are going to start doing some more exploration for natural gas. They're going to be going in and reworking some old wells for natural gas. They're going to be laying some pipelines for natural gas. They're going to get processing plants. So this whole thing is going to be a much better deal for us out here in western Oklahoma if we can continue to survive the lull.
Yeah.
I mean, we're seeing it get better. I mean, it's not as bad as it was.
No.
It's not as great as it once was either, but still, it's,
And we can thank LNG for a lot of that.
Oh, man. Well,
we're shipping and the export.
You know, and the Trump presidency for lifting those restrictions on us being able to export those hydrocarbons.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, Texas natural gas production falls as freezing weather sets in.
They had another little cold snap down there.
Yeah, and Texas natural gas production dropped for the second time this month because of freezing temperatures settling over the state. Output on Thursday, now this was on the 20th, but output on Thursday was down 6.2%, according to preliminary Bloomberg NEF data based on pipeline flows. That's the biggest decline since January 2nd when a similar blast of frigid air curbed supplies. It's a safe assumption to call freeze-offs, Bloomberg analyst Jade Patterson said, adding that figures may still be adjusted throughout the day. Data from analytics firm RBN Energy Thursday shows a 4.4% drop in production from the Permian Basin alone. But production shut-ins are not uncommon in Texas during cold weather, typically occurring at least once or twice a year. And while a single-day drop of 6% is bigger than usual, Thursday's dip was largely offset by a jump in withdrawals from gas storage in the Gulf Coast, so gas and power prices weren't affected. Yet the increasing frequency of such events, two freeze-offs in a matter of weeks, raises questions about Texas's ability to avoid a repeat of the deadly energy crisis that crippled the gas sector and plunged millions into darkness less than 1 year ago. First and foremost on people's minds is last February, says Luke Metzger, Executive Director of Environment Texas. People like me went without power for several days, and the primary reason being that there were disruptions in the natural gas supply chain. Even modest production drops can affect the power supply. During the last coal blast at the beginning of January, gas output fell by about 7%. At the same time, Texas lost about 1.3 gigawatts of electrical generation due to gas supply issues. The Texas Oil and Gas Association, which represents producers, downplayed the impact of the drop. TXOGA is confident natural gas supply is strong, said Association President Todd Staples. Feedback from our membership confirms production variations have been minimal and something less than 5% seems consistent statewide. The Texas Railroad Commission, which regulates the oil and gas industry, said no more disruptions have been reported. The agency does not track gas production in real time and does not require producers to report outages. The supply from storage pipes and production is working and continues to provide plenty of this essential resource to electric power generators and gas utilities. It's not typical to see daily gas production fluctuations. More output declines may be on the horizon. The cold sweeping Texas threatens to send temperatures below freezing across much of the state, with oil and gas fields in West Texas facing low temperatures in the teens and 20s through Saturday, according to, that was a while back.
Right.
Last week. Okay, now let's break this down. I don't care how much winterization you do pre-winter, you're gonna have freezes. It's gonna happen. Anytime you mix water and cold air, it's gonna happen.
Yeah.
And a lot of times you may believe that, and I've done it myself, believe that you've got it covered, set, ready to go for cold weather until it actually hits. And then you find weaknesses in your plan. You find the flaws in your strategy. So what do? You get it thawed out. Once it thawed out and producing again, you go in and you start addressing
those. Try to fix that.
Yeah. And it takes a few freezes, and especially when we're talking about getting wind chills and negative numbers and 30-mile-an-hour winds, it's going to take a couple of times for you to find all the weaknesses in your plan and get them fixed.
Yeah.
And a lot of these wells, too, what you have to understand are, I hate to say they're not depleted wells, but they have been depleted. And they're not as strong as they used to be. They're not producing as strongly. So when you get a freeze like that, you're not going to spend the money to get it thawed out and back online because it's just not economically feasible.
Right.
And that's why we've really never faced this in the past, because we always had new wells coming online that would make up for it, but we haven't had that in the last couple of years thanks to what all's taken place. So new exploration is a wonderful thing because you've got newer wells that you can that are making up for anything that may shut in due to freezes.
Plus, we had just an extremely weird...
It has been.
That sustained cold for that long was definitely not a usual thing here. I've been here 40 years. It's the coldest, the longest I'd ever been here and seen it.
And that's what I say, though. We're having some temperatures drop.
Right.
But then we're getting 20 and 30 mile an hour winds with it.
Yeah.
And You know, scientists can say what they want to. Wind chill has, it only affects flesh. They're wrong.
Right.
it affects metal.
It certainly does. And anything that's above ground,
yeah.
You know, up in the air.
That's why your bridges and overpasses freeze
first. That's it. Also, a big shout out to Tyler Rose. Now, he's not in the oil field, but he does work for a beer company. And a lot of guys in the oil field drink beer. So, you know what? Tyler Rose, thanks for making Exploring Energy part of your daily routine. We're going to be back with our final mop-up segment of the Tuesday edition of the Exploring Energy Show right after this.
The Exploring Energy Show with Sean Wilson and Butch Black.
What do these companies want from you?
When they call you, they want you to answer the phone. And whether it's Sunday, Saturday, or Monday, they also want customer service. Do what you say you're going to do. I mean, because when they're in a bind, they're in a bind. You want that company to think of you first. Oh, we need this. Well, call Brock. You call me. We'll get it taken care of. You needed a hose like yesterday. We will stop what we're doing. And if we got to go to our Oklahoma City shop and get it, we'll do that. And I've done that for a lot of my customers. If they call me, they're expecting me to get whatever task done to a farmer, a tractor, combine, gets them up and running. He's back in the field, makes some money. Guy in the oil field, their piece of equipment's running again. That makes some money. Solves that problem. I'm Brock Kalk, and my company is American Hose and Supply. Come by and see us at 2111 South Main, Elk City, Oklahoma, in Camrock Building next to Fred's, or call me at 580-821-4413. 821-4413.
I am one of thousands of women with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC,
which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body.
I am living in the moment and taking Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for postmenopausal women or for men with HR positive, HER2 negative MBC as the first hormonal based therapy.
Be in your moment. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com.
Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
Sean Wilson and Butch Black with the Exploring Energy Show return now.
Now it is. Sustaining Oklahoma's energy resources. Their upcoming educational opportunities. You need to get yourself signed up for the Tier 2 reporting. Please note that annual reports are due March 1st for your local state regulatory entity. Workshop is just $15. Location is 500 Northeast 4th Street in Oklahoma City. It's February 3rd from 10 to 12. Tier 2 reporting. And then also the plunger lift coming February the 24th. That workshop costs just $15. Also from 11 to 12. That's a one-hour deal there. Two-hour deal on the Tier 2 reporting. You can get on to SoerOK.com, www.SoerOK.com. Get yourself registered for those upcoming educational opportunities. Stay compliant as well. Also, you can download the free Sower Connect app, then you'll always know when these classes are being held because they'll let you know. They'll give you a reminder, says here's what's happening, here's when it's happening, here's how to be a part of it. Plus, you have the quick and easy access to Sower's Leash Pumpers Handbook, so it's even better. And it's a native app, meaning it can be easily accessed in remote locations without Wi-Fi or internet. It's Sower Connect, all one word, for Android or iOS. Sower Connect app. Don't forget to follow us on our Facebook page, 96.5. Community calendar and events, right on 96.5's Facebook page. Local news, it's there as well. Daily Ag Update with Yemi Clark. Yes, it is. The Skinny on Sports, also covering local high school, college, national sports, even my Kansas City Chiefs. What? And live radio talk shows like this one in the early morning show. Today in Ag, live and on demand. And the Penny News Weather Report, that's all on our KECO Facebook page. All right, well, very quickly, I know that we're running short here on this segment, but Mexican State Oil Company Petróleos Mexicanos will take control of the Deer Creek Refinery in Houston. Deer Park, pardon me, not Deer Creek, Deer Park Refinery. They actually just did January the 20th. And Royal Dutch Shell in May agreed to sell its majority stake in the Deer Park Refinery, which can process up to 340,000 barrels of oil per day, to Pemex, its longtime partner in the plant, for about $596 million. So the payment and transfer of the assets happened. Pemex source said, who spoke on condition of anonymity, the refinery will then be operated directly by Pemex. Pemex has reached an agreement with personnel already working there at the refinery.
There's not going to be any layoffs.
And the operators will be the same to guarantee stability, but they would no longer be working for Shell, Royal Dutch Shell. The source said the Pemex delegation, including Chief Executive Officer Octavio Romero, will travel to Texas to finalize the deal. And then also, Pemex did not immediately respond to requests for comment, and a Shell spokesman did not immediately confirm the delivery date. But the third source close to the situation said there are still final transition activities pending, but added that he expected the deal to be complete in the next few days. So neither Shell nor Pemex have detailed what volumes or refined products Mexico will receive from the Texas plant, nor how much crude it will be able to supply from this point forward.
Yeah. That's good, though. No layoffs, no...
Yeah, that is. I mean, that is good news.
All right. Let's take a look at weather.
Shall we?
It's 30 degrees outside.
A little cooler today than yesterday.
Yeah, that's a negative 1 degree centigrade.
I was curious.
Humidity is 75%. Winds are northeast at 16. Dew points at 23. Wind chills at 19. So that's a little cool. Today's going to be partly sunny with a high near 43. East-northeast winds 13 to 17, gusts as high as 24. Wednesday, snow likely. Mainly afternoon, cloudy with a high near 28. Northeast winds 6 to 9, becoming south in the afternoon. Chance of precipitation is 60%. New snow accumulation of around an inch possible.
Takes 10 inches of snow to make an inch of rain, just so you know.
Yeah, so we'll get about a 10th. If we get the inch, we'll get a 10th.
Of course, any moisture at this point right now is welcome, no doubt about it.
Wednesday night, we have a 20% chance of snow before midnight. Partly cloudy, low around 21. South winds 8 to 11. Thursday, mostly sunny with a high near 46. Southwest winds 6 to 15. Becoming north in the afternoon, winds could gust as high as 21. Friday, sunny with a high near 53. Saturday, sunny with a high near 61. Sunday, sunny with a high near 60. Monday, sunny with a high near 59. We're slowly sinking there.
Yeah.
But anyway, looks like we're going to get some snow. Just depends on how – we just don't know how much yet. And not enough to break the drought, but, hey, we'll take anything we can
get.
That's
it.
Stocks are still pretty much in the trash. They're all in the red. AEP is down 61 to 88.51. Apache's down 62 to 29.92. Chesapeake's up 31, 64.07. Continental's down 56, 48.77. ConocoPhillips is down $1.23 to 81.79. Devon's down 98, 47.37. GE is down 7.71 to 89.16. Halliburton's down 49 to 28.10. H&P is down 80 to 27.27. Liberty Oilfield is down 33 to 11.57. Laredo Petroleum's down 231 to 65.14. Magellan Midstream's down 36 to 47.14. OG&E is down 62 to 36.48. One Oak is down $1.06 to 57.57. Panhandle Minerals is down a nickel to $2.30. Phillips 66 is down $1.01 to 81.82. Sandridge is down 38 to 9.54. Schlumberger is down 66 to 35.94, and the Williams Company is down 27 to $28 even. It's amazing that Schlumberger and Halliburton are—they're so tickled over their profits, and their stocks are dropping.
Yeah, well, I mean, it is kind of a lot of geopolitical uncertainty going on right now, especially in the trading realm. Here's your energy commodity prices: West Texas Intermediate, up 41 cents to $83.72 a barrel. Brent crude oil up 57 cents to $86.84 a barrel. Tokan crude oil in Japan stayed static at 53,300 yen per kiloliter. NYMEX natural gas just slipped into the red, down 6 cents, but trading at $3.97 per million BTU. I remember you and I getting really excited when it got over 350.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, really.
Hey, when it got to 250, yeah. I was
starting to perk up a little bit. We'll be back again tomorrow at 8.05 a.m. to 9 a.m. right here on 96.5 KECO. Again, follow us on our Facebook page. Our website, if you've been trying to go to that, is back up and going now.
Good.
ExploringEnergy.net. We had some backside issues with the provider of that, so we got that fixed and back up on online. So thanks again for tuning in today. Be safe out there. It is going to be a little colder. We're talking about a little snow coming in tomorrow. So with that being said, and for all of our great sponsors, I'm Sean Wilson. Thanks so much for listening. I promise we'll talk again. You're tuned to 96.5 KECO in Elk City, Oklahoma. Have yourself a great day.